2008 seminar, lecture 6. Lecture 6. Fascinating concept. Creative imagination reveals the usefulness of stem cells. Intuitiveness opens the practitioner's thought to greater possibilities in utilizing the stem cell for bodily wholeness. Investigation into everything or anything begins in thought. Magic, illusion, first the thought, then the revelation. We were talking last hour in the discussion about children and learning values. And the illustration came up to my mind of one of my students who is a very successful person, and he had a daughter and he had a son, and the daughter was older, the son was younger, but the son was 17, 18 years old, something like that. And the son was a very fine boy, and he had many interests, and he was not going out with his friends for some reason. And his father noticed that he was staying at home and not going with his friends. And so his father said to him, how come you're not going out with your friends? Oh, no reason. And he said, well, go out and be with them, you know. Don't hang around the house all the time like that. And so the kid went out of the house, and he was gone for about 10 minutes, and then he came back. And the father said, you're not going out with your friends. How come? Dad, they're onto drugs, and I'm not. You know, here the father was encouraging his son to go with his friends, and the son's own wisdom was saying, I don't want to be on drugs like my friends are, and I don't want to be in their presence and say, you shouldn't do that because I'm not their guide. He said, I just couldn't. Now, why did the father say that? Why did the father say that to the son, that he should go out and be with his friends, when the father should have known that the son would have every reason to be or not to be out with the friends? So often, the father doesn't realize that the values that they have taught to the children stay with them all of their lives, and they live by them. Now, his daughter was another crazy cat, you know. His daughter was very good in school, and the father ran a pharmaceutical house and also a company that made pharmaceuticals, and he was very successful. Well, the daughter was interested in pharmaceuticals too, but she didn't tell her dad. She went to college and finished her degree in pharmaceuticals, and she became a doctorate in pharmacy and stuff, and then she went to work as her, what do you call it, a trial, where she worked for these places to learn her apprenticeship in the pharmaceutical business, and did very well. And after she had graduated from her apprenticeship and so forth, then she went to her dad and said, Dad, I like pharmacy work. And her father says, great, anything I can do to help you in it, I'll do it. She says, yes, Dad, I know that. That's why I didn't tell you. I took the courses in college, and I passed them all with top marks. I took my apprenticeship as a pharmacist, and I passed that. And now I have a full-time job in a pharmacy somewhere. And the father owned several pharmacies. And the daughter wanted to do her own thing, because she knew her father would be breathing down her neck and breathing down the neck of the authorities to make sure that she got the passing. And she did it all by herself. And she did it very beautifully all by herself. Now, we don't really appreciate how well we are parents teaching our children values. We don't really appreciate how well we have taught them and how beautifully we have taught them. Because many times they are drawn apart, they're caused to go into various areas that are not beneficial to them as far as we're concerned. And we think, how can they handle it? You know, how would I have handled it? Would I have fallen in the trap? And yes, you probably would have fallen in the trap because you didn't have yourself as your trainer like they did. They had you as a parent training them, giving them values, and you have to believe in them. I've always said to my son, go do whatever you want to do. I know you're going to do things that are good for you and fun for you, and I'm going to be always proud of you. You just go do whatever you want to do. And he has never once made me unproud of him. Never once. No. That's what I did. And I always said to my wife, too, I said, go and do what you wish to do. I believe in you. And she went and did what she wished to do, and that was fine. But, you see, we have to believe in ourselves. Do we have values that we live by? And are these values so precious to us that we see everyone in our world living by those values? Do we see your daughter, for instance, do we see your daughter attracting to herself or creating in her world young men of the same quality that you see your family having? Do you see the men coming, men, boys, coming into your daughter's world who are equally fantastic with values just like she has, and with virtues just like she has, and with talent just like she has? This is what you can do. And it's more powerful than any verbal word you speak. Your confidence and belief in your family, in your world, in your dog. I say to my dog, Rex, come, under my breath. And he's off running in the woods. And in a moment or two, he's at my side. Now, I'm a genius. I can use telepathy. And I can talk to my dog without even seeing him. And I can say, Rex, come here, be on my side. We all do that. But we don't take credit for it. We all do that. But we don't realize that we do that and do it whenever we want. If ever I'm walking on the path, we have 104 acres up in the mountains in Southern California, and we have miles and miles of meditation paths. And I'm walking along these meditation paths, and Rex is a great big golden retriever, and he walks off by himself, and he comes back, and he's just wonderful. Just wonderful. Does whatever he wants to do. We have a lot of fun. And I just think my thought, and he comes and stands by my side. You see, if you could train a dog like that based upon what your values are, how much more would you train your family? Okay, let's get down to business here on Lecture 6. Creative imagination reveals the usefulness of the stem cells. Creative imagination allows us to see these stem cells doing what we wish them to do. Now, do you wish? Do you desire? Do you program your stem cells to go to work and bring about your original purity and integrity? Is that what you program them for? Well then, visualize it. And how would you visualize it? Now, it doesn't have to be this way. It can be any way you want, but this is a way of looking at it. I visualize this big platoon of stem cells up on my brain, and I visualize them saying, okay, you want us to go in there and clean up the joint? No, not really. I have to talk like that. I don't really want you to clean up the joint. I just want you to infuse new life into them, new directions, new importance into them, vitality and immortality. That's all, just that's all. Vitality and immortality. And as I do that, my stem cells say, hey, that's nice, I like that too. And they go to work infusing vitality and immortality into the brain. They start infusing into the brain unconditional love, which is what I use as my code of ethics at all times. They do all the things that I am. And naturally you'd say, well, why aren't they there already? Well, they are. But stuff that's a hangover from years ago, stuff that is a hangover from when I was at the university and they were teaching things and I believed everything that they taught because I wanted to learn quickly, and the best way to learn is just to accept everything that they say and then later make a judgment about it. Well, the later never came. And only later, which is now, only much later, did I realize, hey, I'm hanging on to conditions and values that don't fit anymore, that have no place in my life. I was at the United Church of Religious Science as the editor of Science Mind magazine. And I lived in Newport Beach, and I'd drive to Los Angeles to work. And one morning, my beautiful little Pontiac convertible started to cough on the way to work. And I said, hey, I got to get to work. I'm the speaker this morning before the entire group. Every morning they choose someone to speak to the employees and give a positive talk before starting work. And it was my turn that morning. I said, hey, you got to get me there on time, you know. And the car would cough, and then all of a sudden it gave a big sput, you know, and the sput was there, and it ran. And I got to work, and I left it at the garage service station next door to the church, and I went into the church and into the auditorium and spoke, and afterwards I went over to check in my car. And the garage man said, this is not supposed to happen, but your entire harness, your electrical harness, fused. It should have burned up the car, but it just fused, and it ran. He says, we got to put a new harness in. I said, please do. And so he put a new harness in, and everything was back in order. But it shouldn't have worked. But I spoke my word and said, it must work because I have to be there to give the talk. Well, the next day, I gave the talk again. And so the next day, I told of my illustration. I said I was driving to work 90 miles from Newport Beach to the office in Los Angeles, and on the way the car acted up, and I said to the car, I spoke my word, you are in divine order now. You function perfectly now. You work, you know, work, car, work, you know, and it worked. And I told him about the sputtering, and I told him about the boop and the spot and everything, and of course I said, when you speak your word into principle, it works. God heals everything. And I got called into the office. They called me into the office of the president. And they said, what are you teaching that God heals mechanical things? Now that's just exactly what they said, that God heals mechanical things. And I said, well, there's nothing God can't do. But God doesn't heal mechanical things. We don't teach that God heals mechanical things, because then people start thinking that God heals mechanical things. And I said, well, I mean, you know, I'm just the editor of the magazine. I'm not the president. And the president and so forth were down having me on the carpet. And I said, well, so be it. And so then the opportunity came along for me to take this job in another church, to go with my airplanes and fly to different churches and speak on Sundays, and then finally go to Andromeda in Minneapolis. And when I did, I said, you know, I'm teaching something I don't believe. They're saying God can do anything, but there are some things that God can't do. Now, it may have just been that hierarchy of people there. I don't think Ernest Holmes ever said anything like that. And I know his writings very well. And so I had to leave. I went out representing them for a couple of years, and finally I had to leave. I had to go start my own organization, my own teaching, my own philosophy. And when I did, oh, it was so great. I didn't have to remember anything, because I taught what I believed. I taught what I was. I didn't teach somebody else's philosophy. And this is what I want all of you to do here. When you are learning this philosophy, or learning about this philosophy, you will develop your own philosophy while you're learning it, and teach that. But you'll find that these words that we have created and come up with are so beneficial and good to use that go ahead and use them. One of my students in Michigan, Detroit, Michigan, a nice guy, and he visited campus a couple times, and he had a very big head, and he took the Art and Science of Wholeness, the textbook, and he copied the entire textbook word for word, except for my name, and put it under his name, and published it, and sold it to his students and to his church. And then he came down and told me. He told me he did this. And I said, wow, you are quite a guy. I said, do you realize that someday in the future, people are going to look at your copyright date and look at my copyright date and realize that mine came before yours, and that yours is a copy of mine, and so who copied whom, you know? And then he couldn't handle it. He just couldn't handle it. So you know what he did? What did he do?
He defends you.
He died. Yeah, he died. And because he knew he had violated all the rules of ethics and all. I mean, he's a brilliant man. He's not stupid, you know. He should have known you can't do it. And if he's going to copy it, don't show it to me. You know, don't tell me. Because I will say, do as you wish, you know. Because we don't copyright any of our stuff. We have it open for everyone to use and take any way you like. And if somebody wants to take it word for word and put their name on it, that's their business. I don't care. But you know better. If you ever take what I have written and you want to do that, get permission. Or rewrite it.
Yes.
Rewrite it in your own words, because then you'll always remember it. But maybe not. You'll remember the way I wrote it. Because, you know, why is it that to be or not to be, this phrase of Shakespeare and many other statements from the Bible, the minute you say them, bang, that came from, ooh, that came from, that came from, you know, right away, it came from someplace. Well, now, here in our statement, we say creative imagination reveals the usefulness of how stem cells can be used. Now, we have a creative imagination about us. And that creative imagination can do anything we want to do. It can be so wonderful and so fantastic and so glorious if we want it to be that way. But we have to train it. We have to train it. Now, if you train your imagination to think that your daughter is having a problem, wow, can you come up with some interesting scenarios? Man, oh man, the television scripts don't begin to come near it. But if you, as the person that you are, come up with, hey, I know my daughter. I know who she is. She is supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. She is Miss Wonderful. She is fantastic. She is the most glorious woman that ever walked the face of the earth. She is the role model for all the young girls of values and ethics and sexual values and things like that. And she doesn't even participate in those things. And what have you, but she's a role model because she has values that she has gained from our family. And you would write a story which was perhaps a little fictitional because she hasn't experienced all that yet, but you would write it so beautifully that everybody would read it and say, my God, you know, Jesus had a sister. And how wonderful, you know? But this is we have this imagination. Set these stem cells to work with your imagination to create the world that you want. Create the world that you choose for yourself out of your thought, out of your dreams. I tell people about my son, and I go into different churches where I'm speaking or something, and I tell them about my son, and they say, yeah, sure, yeah, And then he flies along with me sometimes, and they meet him. And they talk with him for 5 minutes or so, not very long. And then they come to me and they say, you didn't tell us everything. You didn't tell us half of the things about your son. He is fantastic. And yes, I know. Yes, I know. But the thing is, that's what you want. And I write all about these things. And now my son, he never liked to write. He never liked to read. He liked to read. But he never liked to learn grammar, you know, or spelling. He's a man, runs his business, makes buku money and all that stuff, and can't spell or write. But he's taken to writing a column every morning about his walk every morning with his dogs around his airport. And so he tells about how the dogs respond to the flowers, the trees, the birds, the foxes, how they respond to each other, and how on cold mornings they want to get the walk over with in a hurry, and all the other things they do. And he's been writing this on the email, on the internet, like 2 or 3 paragraphs, the most charming paragraphs you could ever imagine. But the spelling and the grammar is terrible. But his use of words is outstanding. Misspelled words, but fabulous words. He has a vocabulary that is just unbelievable. But, you see, I talk about him. I tout him. I tell the world how wonderful he is, and he reveals that. Now I should shut up about his spelling and grammar and say he has perfect spelling and perfect grammar, right? He has perfect spelling and perfect grammar. And let it be so. Let it be so. He had a girlfriend that he met on the internet, and whom subsequently he married. But his grammar was so, I couldn't imagine her getting excited about him. But his content was so beautiful that that's who she fell in love with. And when they got married, I said to him, "Well, Mark, how is married life treating you after the first couple of weeks?" He said, "Dad, I never realized it was so great." And then after the first year, I never realized it could get better every day. And after the fifth and eighth year or whatever it was, he said, "Dad, it is just exhilarating. And it is, she is fabulous, you know. She is great." He loves and respects his wife. And of course, she loved and respected him and didn't correct his spelling. Didn't correct his grammar. She just gathered from what he said, from the content of what he said, the magic man that he is. And you see, this is who we are. Use your imagination. Use your imagination when you're thinking of what your stem cells do. Use your imagination when we have our second point here. Intuitiveness opens the practitioner's thought to greater possibilities in utilizing the stem cells for bodily wholeness. Now, we have Michael over here. He's sitting there just eager to express himself. And Michael has an ankle that has been bothering him. And so Michael says that, "I have this ankle that's bothering me." And I said, "That's nice." And Michael says, "That's not nice of you to say that, Herb." And I say, "Hey, Michael, come with me." And so Michael says, "Where are we going?" "That's right here." And I said, "Michael, no, I'm going to talk to you, and I want you to cooperate 100%. And he says, "Okay, I'm game, you know." And I said, "Michael, give me permission to go inside of you." And he says, "Well, interesting trick." And so I go inside of his head, and I greet all these 10,000 brand new stem cells, and I say to them, "Fellas, we got a job for you. I'd like you just to make a quick trip down to Michael's ankle. I'd like you to surround his ankle with a blanket of love, a blanket of wholeness, a blanket of perfection, and just let his ankle just soak it up and radiate the wholeness and the beauty that it is, and let every cell in his ankle just be so perfect and so fantastic like it is," and on and on and on, telling the story with all sorts of magic, you know. And so Michael's looking at his ankle, and he said, wow, I feel it happening. I feel it happening already, you know. Now, he can tell the story for himself. He doesn't have to have me tell it. I'm just a storyteller. But he can tell the story for himself. So he says, "Well, Herb, you got it wrong with my wrist." "Okay, now, you tell the story about your wrist." So he says, "Okay, stem cells, my wrist, go for it. Surround it with your pure white essence of love, your wholeness, your perfection, and I have a perfect wrist, a fantastic wrist, a magnificent wrist." And so it is. Now, anything else? Well, all right. Here comes Michael. Oh, know-it-all Michael. And he says, "Well, Herb, I have an empty wallet. I would like to see it filled." And I say, "Okay, how do you plan to go about it?" He said, "Well, I leave that up to you." And I say, no, we leave it up to the stem cells. We say, "Stem cells, here's my wallet. I see it filled to overflowing now." And you visualize the stem cells jumping right out of your brain into your wallet and manifesting it with all that abundance. That's nice, isn't it? Manifesting with all that abundance and all that good. And what happens? If you are in the flow, it happens. When you are in the flow, you go from your ankle to your wrist, to your head, to your wallet, you know. Fantastic. This is letting the stem cells do what they can do. Now, you say, "Well, how can the stem cells turn into money?" They don't. They change your blindness to vision. They change your blindness of not seeing the money that's there into vision of seeing the money that's there. All the money of the universe is ours to use whenever we want. If we want it in our wallet, it's in our wallet. If we want it in our checkbook, it's in our checkbook. What do you want? What wouldst thou of me? Jesus asked his followers. Because they said, I would be made whole. He said, well, you are whole. You see, he saw them whole. He couldn't see them any other way than he is. And so when we want to demonstrate, reveal all that is already there, then we do it by our attitude. And then it's done. Right? Now, this goes for your daughter. This goes for your family. This goes for all the families here. This goes for all of us individually. We want to learn to use our imagination and have our imagination bring forth some of the magical things that it's capable of doing. We have a young man, John Charles Dainty of New Zealand, and he was on campus for a couple of years getting his ordination and doing other things. And so he loved telling stories. And so we had him telling stories. And he would tell us a story of an evening. And his story would have maybe 10, 12 characters in it. And he would make it up as he went along. And he would keep all those characters' personality in order. He would not lose his place with any of them. He knew their names and nicknames. He knew how... He was a storyteller. That was his vision. And he could create so beautifully. And he created beautifully. Now, you too can learn to be a storyteller. You can learn to create very beautifully. What illusion do you want? How effective you are in revealing the demonstration, revealing your desire, is followed by how effective you are as a storyteller. How effective are you as a storyteller? Can you put a wherry here, south of Port Harcourt? Yeah. And if you can, that's a step in the right direction in being creative in your imagination. Now, could you put a beautiful airport right out in front of the house here? Yeah. That is an international airport. Well, we really don't want that. Well, no. You have this international airport, but it's a quiet airport. It doesn't make any noise. The planes come in and go out as a whisper. You don't even know they're there. Oh, but that. Well, look, if you can create an airport out in your front yard, you can certainly create quiet airplanes, right? So why limit yourself? If you can create yourself having a whole ankle or wrist, or create money in your wallet, you can create an airport that has quiet airplanes. This is really something very powerful. And you say, well, you get off on a tangent there, you get off on a way out thing. No, that's what it is. That's what it is. What are the statements you've heard? Keep hanging on. Success is just around the corner. If you're going to die, die of natural causes. Don't help it. No, really. And you're in a boat, and you're adrift, and you're afloat, and you're going to drown or die, or, you know. And so, but don't give up. Just say, I am surrounded by the pure white light of love, and all my ways are peace, and all my paths are pleasantness, and I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that the blessing for me is there, and I am picked up now by something. And so, what comes along? A flying boat? A ship? Some Indians, Polynesians with their boat? Who cares what comes along? But something comes along. And they pick you up, and they treat you like a prince, because you have gone through an ordeal. And they take you to the mainland again. Now, can you believe that? How many people were involved in that story? Basically one. You don't know who his benefactors are. You don't know what type of ship they had. I gave you a few samples, but you don't know which one it was. And you don't know anything about it. But yet, was that guy saved? Please tell me. Anybody? Was that guy...
Yes.
Saved? Thank you. Now, he was saved. Now, most of you find it difficult to say yes. And that's because you find it difficult to play the game. You find it difficult to be fanciful, to be just amazing. But you can. And when you can, Michael, when you can be amazing, then you will have amazing results. You know, these men were dying of old age and illnesses. They lived in New York, and they didn't have any money. They went out and they picked their food out of the garbage cans behind the supermarkets and stuff like that. And finally, they saved newspapers too. And a bunch of newspapers fell over on one brother and killed him. And the other brother died without, because he wasn't given anything to eat or anything. And so when the police came in and checked it over, they took them out, and the place was just a rubbish dump. Well, you know what happened. You know what happened, don't you? Underneath, or in their mattress, their lumpy mattress, was filled with millions of dollars. Millions of dollars. And they lived in poverty. Now, why did they live in poverty if they had millions of dollars? They weren't stupid. But they lived in poverty. You...
They were blind. They had no vision.
They didn't understand. They were... You were going to say something? They lived in poverty because they didn't think of their money as being money. Their money was just something to put into the mattress. And also, they had a bank account, and also they had an estate. But the thing is, they didn't apply any of it. Now, we are a lot like those men. We live in other people's garbage. We live in other people's unhappiness. We live in the newspapers, the magazines, and all that sort of stuff, and televisions, about all the problems in the world. And as we live there, what happens? That's where we are. I owned a number of newspapers and magazines over my life, and every one of my newspapers and magazines were called Sunshine Newspapers and Magazines, because all I wrote about were the good things that were happening in town. And I didn't have any trouble finding stuff. And I wrote about it, and I wrote about it, and I made people so happy. People never realized that so many good things were happening in town. But I told them about it. And it's fun. It's fun. Now, does such a newspaper exist? Perhaps. Who writes it? Some idiot like me, who just thinks about positive, joyous things, and it's wonderful. Now, I want you to practice, practice, practice on your imagination. Practice making up stories about something that you like, whether it's health, relationships, money, or love, or whatever it is that is important to you. But practice making up stories. And what? Now, as you practice making up stories, you don't have to tell me the whole story, or even yourself. You just put down a few words which represent it. Now, this is the story of Sam Agabwa and his international airport at his front door. You know? And that tells the whole story. Now, what other story would you write? Would you write a story about...
Me.
Oh, that's the best subject in the world. That's the best subject in the world. But be careful, because what you write may really reflect what you think about yourself. And you may not think that you're so good, even though you act like you think that you're so good. See, a lot of people do that. They have this bravado, this attitude that, oh yes, I'm pretty good, I'm all right, the girls love me, and I do this and that, and they think, yeah, ha ha ha, and all that sort of stuff. And then when it comes right down to it, you're a shy kitten, you know. Now, we know all about you, Mr. Michael. We know all about the magic that you are. You like little children and puppy dogs. But this is beautiful. Now, can he write a story about him liking little children and puppy dogs? Sure. And would it be a good story? It's beautiful. But Use your imagination. You do not have to tell the truth. What you call the truth. You can say anything you want to say. Because what's going to happen when you say what you say? What's going to happen when you say what you say, which is the apparent lie? It'll come true. You're putting a cause in motion. It'll come true. You're putting a cause in motion. He says, I was standing on the corner and six girls came up to me and they said, we have never seen a man so handsome like you. Are you married? And he says, yes. She says, well, of course, we'd expect that. But can we buy you anything? And he says, well, really nothing. But while we're talking, if you choose to do something, you're welcome to do it. So they go and buy him a new Jaguar. They buy him a new house. They buy him all sorts of interesting things. Why not? Be creative in your imagination. Be wild. And what happens? Well, you know, most of the people who win sweepstakes win all that money and they have no idea how to spend it. They have no idea what they're going to do with it because they're not used to having it, yes?
Sir, did you read this book, The Da Vinci Code, by Dan Brown? The Da Vinci Code.
Have I seen the Da Vinci Code? Yes.
That stated that Jesus Christ has families, has children, and all that.
I'm sorry?
It stated, principally, that Jesus Christ had
family. Oh, hey,
family.
Shit. Hey. We're not talking about that. Now, let it alone. We're not talking about whether Jesus Christ and Mary Magdalene had an affair or not. That's of totally unimportant. And when you say that the Da Vinci Code said these things, so what? So what? That's their opinion. That's their defecation. That's their garbage. That's their shit. Now, we are not into other people's shit. We are not into other people's garbage. We want to stay away from it because we don't... Why should we be upset with Jesus having children and stuff? If he had kids, great, super. If he didn't, super. Whatever, it's cool. But the thing is, let it alone. Let it alone. We are talking about principle here. Now, if you're saying, I'm writing a story about Jesus Christ as he had children and was married to Mary Magdalene, he did these things, okay, great. You may even be able to prove it somehow or other. Great. But the thing is, I am telling you, write about yourself. Write about how wealthy you are. Now you say, Herb, why do you use the word shit? Well, you see, when I used it, it didn't disturb you at all.
No.
It didn't stop you at all. So using a language like that is of no value because where it should do the work, it doesn't do it. But just don't do it. So, but write about what you like. Write about what you want. Does the Da Vinci Code amuse you? Does it make you feel better because you've read it? Does it make you feel better because you read the life of Adolf Hitler or Mussolini or Stalin? Do you feel good reading about the millions of people that they asphyxiated and did their things to? Stay away from that. That's not the type of world you want to create. That's not the type of world you want to bring forth in your life, right? Oh, Michael, I have never been to your home. I wonder what kind of a home he has. Does he have an orderly home filled with unconditional love, filled with children and a wife that are just super fantastic? Or does he have a home that is filled with problems? What does he have? What does he have?
One day I'll take you there.
Oh, hey, that's cool. But what does he have? You have a home?
Yeah.
That is... Tell us. It is a home filled with love, of unconditional love. You have a home that is lovely, charming, and inviting. You have a home that makes everyone feel so comfortable and so good. You have a home that everyone wants to visit. You have a home that makes visitors feel welcome, right? So, you see, play the game. But let these... illusionary problems of other people alone. And one of the greatest illusionary problems that we have to leave alone is the Bible. Because the Bible is the story of the religious development of a people. And the Jews made it into a special book. they made it into a very special book. They left out what they didn't want, and they put in what they did want. And so the Catholic Church took the New Testament, and they left out what they didn't want and put in what they did want. And in the archives of the Vatican and Rome are all of the books that were left out, you know. And they make very interesting reading. I have seen some of them, and it's fascinating. Now, does it matter whatever Jesus did do or didn't do? Does it matter whatever came or didn't come? You see, we don't want to talk about things that are going to make us a problem, that are going to make us feel uncomfortable. Because that's not where life is all about. Life is all about what?
Joy.
Play the game.
About using your stem cells in a positive, dynamic, wonderful way. And this is what we want to do. So, if he talks about negative things, his stem cells are going to say, oh, negative is in. Negative is approved. So, your stem cells are going to start acting negative in your body. Your children are going to act negative if you talk negative at home.
Yes.
If you swear in the home, the children are going to swear, maybe not in the home, but around. And if you do naughty things in the home and disrespectful things to one another, the children are going to do that. The children are a perfect reflection of the family.
Copycats.
Huh?
Copycats.
Copycats?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You're their role model. They're your copycat. And it's not always so, but most of the time it is. And when they want to get their own way, then they start throwing it up at you. But it's good. Now, we want to create our children beautiful, loving, honest, happy at all times. All the children I have to deal with all the time, I say, whatever you do, tell the truth and you can never get in trouble. And that's true. That's true. Other people might get in trouble, but you can't. And remember that. You are the master of who you are. So now, investigation into anything begins in thought. So you want to go into the investigation of your own inner self. How do you get with these stem cells that are mounted on your brain there, just waiting to go to work? How do you get in the stem cells that are in your muscles and in your heart and in your liver and in your lungs? How do you get into them? Through your thought alone. And your thought moves you in there so beautifully, so powerfully, so wonderfully. Because of what reason? Because your thought is pure. Now, you might have impure thoughts, but it is purely impure. Does that make any sense to you? A purely impure thought? I have a right to hate you because you're a mean person. Is that true? It's never true. I have a right to kill you because my government says we are at war and I'm supposed to dispatch you. Do you have a right to do that? No. But yeah, you're told that you do. And we think that we have a right to take something we find on the ground just because somebody else lost it. Finders keepers, losers weepers. No way. Forget it. Forget it. You'll have opportunities to test yourself as you go along, especially in front of your children and your friends. They'll see you not picking up something that they themselves might pick up. But you don't. And you don't say, I wish I had. You don't, because you know what you're doing and you know where you're coming from. Life is so filled with opportunities to live by the principle, live by the law. But again, things like the Da Vinci Code. It's charming. Somebody's beautiful imagination. And they make it look so serious and so proper and so true. Just like The Secret. They make that look so true and so proper and so serious. And was there a secret? If any of you have seen The Secret. Was there a secret? No. What was the secret?
The law of attraction.
The law of cause and effect. And they say the law of attraction. And you see, there's nothing to attract. You don't attract anything into your life. You create it in your life. And you are totally in charge of it. And so, now, The Secret was a great, great picture, a great shared the idea of perhaps you're God and you're wonderful. And Mrs. Knight did her usual wonderful job as Ramtha and as herself, and beautiful things come out of it. Beautiful things come out of it. But we have to be so careful what we read, because what we read gets in here and stays. What we read gets to be part of our nature. So when you're reading, how many of you think that the opera is quite a beautiful thing? The music of the opera is so glorious and so uplifting and so fantastic. No. 90% of your operas are about sordid love affairs, where somebody's running around with somebody else's wife and lovers and so forth, and Don Juan and that sort of stuff, you know, and killing and doing whatever they want to do. And really, that sort of stuff we don't need in our consciousness. We have to be very selective of what we put in our consciousness. Now, what do you want to put in your consciousness? You want to put in your consciousness positive, joyful, wonderful things. Now, presumably the Bible should be that. But you go through the Bible and you pick out the positive, loving things. And what do you find? You find a page or two of them. And what do? Is that sacred word? Well, you don't like the way it's written, perhaps in the Old English or whatever. So you put it in modern English. I have Bible stories in my Thought for Today columns of the network, just that we have, and the homepage. And the Bible stories that I tell the Bible, have you ever listened to any? They're kind of interesting. They tell the story of what I believe really happened and how it happened. Not belittling in anything what was said, but merely putting it in perspective of what they did in those days. And it's quite interesting. Quite interesting. People say Jesus didn't have any money. And who did Jesus have as one of his disciples? Tax collector, a patrician, and other people. And when did Jesus pay taxes? Sure. He had to pay taxes. Here he's an itinerant preacher, you know, itinerant Messiah, and he had to pay taxes. Wow, they're tough. But of course, the Roman government didn't care whether you were a religious group or not. You paid taxes. And that's interesting. Think about that. Okay. Magic, illusion. First the thought, then the revelation. Magic, illusions. What are some of the magic illusions in your life? What are some of the magic illusions that you would like to demonstrate in your world? What sort of a magic illusion would you like to build up, reveal, make happen to you? It could be anything you like. What sort of magic illusion would you like? Just for instance, you say, okay, this house is very nice. Let's give it a coat of paint. And the coat of paint is on there in our consciousness. Now what will take it from our consciousness to the fact?
Thoughts.
What did you say?
Thoughts.
Thought.
Thoughts.
Thoughts.
Yeah. Doubts. No, not doubts. She says doubts.
Doubt?
What will take it off from manifesting?
Yes.
Oh.
No. So what would make it?
What would make it manifest?
Thoughts.
Yeah, thoughts. The right thoughts. Right. Now, what? It would be a right thought.
Right thoughts.
It is done.
Was it?
It is done. Right? That's the right thought. It is done. Now, if you have the thought it will be done, then it won't be done. If you have the thought you wish it would be done, it won't be done. If you have an argument with yourself and somebody else as to what colors should be there, it's not going to get done. You see, we have the power within us to speak our word and bring forth anything we want. Anything we want, no matter what it is. And we do it for nonsense all the time. We do it for nonsense all the time. Have you ever done the one, perhaps not, but have you ever done? No, you probably don't have that situation here. But in the United States, parking spaces on the street are difficult to come by. And so as you're driving along, you're going to a store, and you say to yourself before you arrive at that store, I now have my perfect parking place. And so you pull up in front of the store, somebody pulls out just as you pull up, and you pull in and park. That happens all the time. Now, why does it happen all the time? Because you put the cause in motion without a doubt, and you have had it happen, so you say, oh, it happens to me all the time. It always happens to me. And pretty soon, it happens to you. And then, if there are two of you, two cars, you're going into the theater, and there's two cars, and you need two parking spaces, the two parking spaces right behind each other. Just as quick as you could ever want them. Now, if we can do that, if I can have Rex come when I just say, and under my breath, Rex, come now, walk with me. And he comes walking with me. Now, if I can do that, and you can do that, if we can speak our word and demonstrate it, what else can we do? Whatever our imagination allows us to do. Now, why is the parking place so easy? Any of you have the answer to that? Why is getting the parking place so easy? What? Why?
So why is demonstrating very easy?
Yeah. Why did it demonstrate so easy? Why was it so easy to find a parking place?
Because you
put a cause in motion. Because you could visualize it very easily. You could visualize it very easily. It was something that you could put a cause in motion and visualize it very easily. Now, some people visualize very easily that the parking place is not there. And they say, well, at least it's 6 blocks from the place and the exercise does me good. But that's not what you want to do. It's easy to visualize a parking place, especially right in front of the store where you want to go. And it's there every time. It's wonderful. And don't tell anybody about it in your car. Because they will say, ha ha. Let them be delighted that you have a parking place right in front of where you're going. They'll say, boy, did you luck out. You got a parking place. Yeah, I did it, didn't I? But don't tell them, because they'll poo-poo it.
Yes.
And when they poo-poo it, what they're doing is they're knocking down your belief, your confidence in yourself. And you want to have that confidence in yourself, that belief in yourself, because that's what it's all about. Now, that's a simple little thing. That's just a teensy-weensy little thing. But it's a teensy-weensy little thing that you do. Are you ready to do bigger things? All right. Take it step by step. Take a bigger thing. Can you visualize yourself walking down a street while it's pouring rain, and you say, I am walking in the sunshine, and have a circle of sunshine around you and dryness as you walk along, and it goes right along with you. Can you visualize that? Many people have done that and do that, and they don't tell anybody about it because they sound like they're crazy. And if they want to show somebody that they do it, people say, I don't understand. I can only see the rain. And if you're with a companion, as you speak your word and do it, you'll be so interested in your companion in you, that you won't even notice it. But hey, it works too. And it's easily done. To walk down a rainy street, whether it's a cloudburst or whatever it is, and you are surrounded by a circle of white light, and not a raindrop touches you. Exciting, isn't it? But that's what works, and that's what is. And that's what we do. So now, how are we coming on time? For what?
We have 5 minutes.
What time?
5 more minutes.
What time?
Five.
When do we quit?
4:15.
4:15, that's what I wanted to know. Okay, then we still had a little time.
Yes.
I thought we did, but I remember we said 3:10 before and this and that and the other thing, you know. So, all right. Now, does anyone have any comments about the ease and the simplicity of these things and how we can use our imagination to really do that Why is it 1,000 people, 8,000 people believe in David Copperfield when he has the Empire State Building disappear in front of their eyes? 10,000 people. Isn't that crazy? 10,000 people were befuddled by his making it disappear. Did it really disappear? It was there, but for them it disappeared. It was definitely not there. They could go up there and feel it and it wouldn't be there, even though it was there. Or was it there? Did he really make it disappear? Now you see, when you allow yourself to believe such things, then you allow yourself to enter into the magic that those things are. And they are wonderful. They're fun too. Yeah. He did a lot of things for a show that we went to see, and it was very fascinating. Now, I have a student whose husband is a magician, and we went to several of his magician shows, and he pulled the flowers out of his hat and all that kind of stuff, you know. But he never showed me any of his tricks. He said, "I don't want to disillusion you." He said, "Just look at it. If you like it, good." And then we went out to eat after we finished his show at the Kiwanis Club, and we went to the restaurant of another magician. And this magician was quite spectacular himself. And so what did he do? He made our meal appear on the table. And I thought, cool, you know? It's his restaurant. And how he did it, I'm sure some lovely, beautiful, creative way, but he did it. Now, I didn't question him. And you know what he served? Escargot, snails. Cooked snails. Yeah, you eat them. You take a little fork, you dip it in the salad sauce, and you eat it. And really, if you have them the first time, you think, they're pretty good. I ate them because I was in the company of these people, and all of them were eating it, so, you know. But that was in Italy. But it was just fascinating. You see, magic miracles happen all the time. All the time. In the life and teachings of the masters of the Far East, Baird Spaulding's mother puts on a spread of food for the people, the guests, and the tables were bare, and then she sort of clicked her fingers, and the table was set with beautiful linen, with beautiful gold-plated cutlery and dishes and everything else. Gorgeous, you know. And then everyone sat down, and she clicked her finger again, and a beautiful golden fluid went into all of the goblets. And the fluid was more delicious than any wine or anything they had ever tasted before. Non-alcoholic, just absolutely fantastic. And after they finished with that, the goblets disappeared. Just disappeared, you know. And if you left something in there, too bad, you should have drunk it while you had it. But then the food was served. And each place had their portions immediately put on, according to what the individual wanted. The individual didn't say anything about it, but the plates read their mind, you might say, and gave them what they wanted. Isn't that fascinating? And you read the book, didn't you? Yeah, yeah. It's fantastic. And think about these things. Yes?
What is the difference between illusion and reality?
I'm sorry?
What is the difference between illusion and reality?
What is the
difference between illusion and reality? The difference.
What's the difference between illusion? None.
None.
Yes.
Listen, magic and miracle are the same.
What?
Magic and miracle are the same.
It's the same thing. It's all the same thing. You don't get it, you see?
Same thing.
Or you don't. You're the same.
Yes, sir. There is a saying in the Holy Scriptures, in the Bible, that one holy man.
Walk when you run.
One holy man puts 10,000 people on run. Is it a reality? Is it true? Or is it magical? Or does it mean that the 10,000 people are spiritual beings or physical beings?
I really didn't follow what you wanted me to get on.
You understand my question?
Yeah.
Yes, he mentioned a miracle, I mean magic. I want to know, whether that thing is magical.
Whether something like that really happened?
One holy man.
Now you're taking the wall of love that Jesus put up to keep the bandits away? Is that what you're talking about? I don't know what story you're
talking about. He's talking about the place in the Bible. He's talking about referring to the mastermind principle.
Yes.
As one person will chase 10,000, but two people will chase 30 or 40. That the power of two people working together will increases the power by geometric progression.
That's garbage. The thing is, it takes no people to do anything. If you think your thought and your thought manipulates or controls 10,000 people, it controls them. Your thought can control 100,000. Your thought can control the universe, and does. But the thing is, if you're saying that two people give you more power than and three people give you still more power, then that's saying that, that the power is multiplied by the people and not by your thought.
By the mind,
yeah. But by your mind. But one person. Now, Jesus could do anything. And so could you. Now, what would you like to manifest? What would you like to reveal? Be creative and be imaginative about it. And then, don't stop. You have this thought that you would like to reveal, let's just say, a new home for you. And the new home is three stories high, and it has a generator that just doesn't stop, and that takes care of all your electrical needs. And you have well water piping, water well, that is infinite capacity. And you have the rooms all beautifully appointed and nicely air conditioned, and the whole place is just fantastic. And it's like a temple made out of, without hands, where there's light wherever you wish it, even though you got electricity. And go on and on and on. And then you say, okay, now my kids are having a fight. They want to know which room they can have. And so I say to the kids, you create your own room. What room would you like? And they say, well, I want a room separate from hers. I want to be on the other side. So you stick a wing out in the over nothing, and you put a room in for them and then a room in for the other, you know, just to play the game. And then you have the rooms fixed so they're slowly moving together on the outside of the house. Slowly moving together until soon they touch, and when they touch, he says, we're going crazy here, and when they touch, then the kids will get along with each other, you know. It's something crazy, it's something imaginative, it's something way out, but do something like that, and then have it be just an illusion, just some magic in your mind, and let it happen. Really.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so much fun. Every one of you has the privilege of manifesting or demonstrating or revealing anything that you want. But you must be one-pointed. Because if you're not one-pointed, then you deny it as you go along. And that's a silly thing to do. Well, we've done quite well. I'm sure we could have done better were I able to understand everything that you said, but maybe we did better by my not understanding it, and the rest of you understood and benefited from it. So I'm happy for you. Thank you very much, and we will see you later. I love you.
I love you.